This is Chapel for October 3rd, 1962. Mr. Bill Dial of the Foreign Missions Board is bringing our message.
Let us bow in the presence of our God. Great and wonderful are thy deeds, O Lord God the Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, O King of the ages. Who shall not fear and glorify thy name, O Lord? For thou alone art holy. All nations shall come and worship thee, for thy judgments have been revealed. May we unite in prayer. Gracious Father of us all, make thy face to shine upon thy servants and teach us. Thy testimonies are righteous forever. Give us understanding that we may live. We thank thee for the sure word of thy forgiveness in the gospel. Move us, we pray thee, to true repentance and forgive us our trespasses. Forgive us that we pray so little and so feebly. Forgive us that we compromise with the world. Forgive us that in our work we settle for far less than our best. Forgive us that we complain at the first cloud that threatens suffering. Forgive us for our softness in a hard world, and for our callousness in a world of suffering. Save us from our self-centeredness and fill us with the love that seeks a neighbor, the love that is angry at injustice, the love that is kind to the weak, and that is patient with all, and that bears the glad message of thy redemption to the ends of the earth. We lift our voices in prayer for those who labor in lonely and difficult places, seeking to serve the world and to serve Christ. We remember especially those who have gone out from among us to far frontiers, both those of our own nationality who have been our fellow students and those who have come to us from abroad and then have returned to very important places of service. Grant, we pray thee, that they may be assured that their lives are geared to an eternal purpose, that nothing at all can defeat them, and that nothing, whatever, can separate them from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Assure us, we pray thee, that the labors of all of us in the Lord are not in vain, and lift before our eyes once more the vision of thy redemption in its fullness. And may we look with hope and see that thou art working in us and in the world to hasten the day when there shall be before our eyes in reality new heavens and a new earth wherein dwells the righteousness of God. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our speaker for this first missionary day in the 1962-63 session is Mr. William M. Dial, Jr., who is now Associate Secretary for Missionary Personnel of the Foreign Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Although he is still a young man, Mr. Dial has already had a distinguished missionary career. In 1953, he was appointed as a missionary of Southern Baptists to Guatemala. After serving there as president of the Guatemalan Baptist Bible Institute, he transferred to Costa Rica, and there, located in San Jose, he taught in the Costa Rican Bible Institute. He did evangelistic work, and he aided and counseled missionary appointees that were studying for work in Spanish-speaking America and were there in language school. And finally, Mr. Dial was chosen to the very strategic work of field representative of four of the countries in the southern part of South America, with his headquarters in Buenos Aires. He served there for a year, then he and his family came home for furlough. Because of a medical problem in the family, it was inadvisable for them to return to their field of service, and he has taken up the work then in the personnel department of the Foreign Mission Board, which gives him special responsibility for counseling with students in this seminary. And we are delighted to have this association with Mr. Dial. I would also say that he is to be on our campus for two more days after today. He will be meeting and conferring with students. I think he has yet some open places in his appointment schedule, and Mrs. Leo Green is making appointments for him in the Appleby building, if any of you wish to confer with him. It is a pleasure for me, because of my own personal acquaintance with Mr. Dial and friendship for him, to introduce him to you as our Missionary Day speaker.
As Dr. Copeland tried to share some of the places where we have been serving in these past years, I could not help but be reminded of the way I was introduced last year down in South America when I arrived and they tried to tell where all we had been. You know, old missionary problems don't fade away, they just get transferred. And I said in response to the introduction I had that day, well, they call me una buena ensalada mixta, which literally means a good tossed salad. I suppose that's about as good an introduction as I've had, except the one I received this week after the birth of my third daughter as a man who lives in a girl's dormitory, one wife, three daughters, and two female cats. I must confess to you this morning that looking toward this hour together, I have had a real and urgently growing desire to be a Quaker, that we might have a silent meeting. This week's events in our country have left all of us genuinely speechless. I found myself trying to interpret these events as they come close to home, to the place where any Christian minister in any phase of the ministry lives and works. Remembering the words of Paul Scherer when he said, the church has come to be one wandering from room to room of humanity's tragic house, wringing its hands, mumbling its creeds, its best wishes and kindest regards, making its distant gestures towards eternity, not even meeting man's need, let alone shaping anything, apologizing for man's poverty, fawning on its governments at war, stroking a cross, but never getting itself crucified because it is not worth crucifying. How easy it would be for you and me to say bravo to what he says. if we did not know he was speaking to us. For we too are members of this body of Christ, his church in this hour, confronting not only Mississippi but our whole world. It may well be at this hour, as so many are writing, and I would not attempt to take up the thesis in this session together, that our most desperate need is a rediscovery of the mission of the church. Perhaps we need to re-mint some terms: church, preacher, evangelist, missionary have all fallen into disrepute in our time. And it may well be that only in rediscovering Christ's purpose for the church, for the preacher, for the evangelist, for the missionary, may we come to the close of a theological education, which in reality is but the beginning of such an education for every person here, asking indeed, who am I, and under God, what is my place in this hour, in this world? In a very real sense, I believe trying to bring it down more personally to each of us, it requires a call to pilgrimage. In the words of a far more eloquent spokesman than this speaker, so many of us have died along the way, all of us thirsting, searching, so long and urgent the search, so eager and restless, some nigh content with thirst half quenched from surface pools found along the road, others gone off across burning sands of discontent, trying to come upon the mirage that draws them. But one thing in common we have: the search. These words captivate our attention, for he talks about discontent and mirages and surface pools that only half quench thirst, and a search. And we know also implied in such words as these are other words which unfortunately characterize many of us in the Christian faith and ministry at this hour: boredom, stale disgust, sophistication, false piety, isolation, disinvolvement, disengagement. The search for meaning, for mission, the search for the meaning of the mission of the church is for you and for me a search through pilgrimage for meaning for me, for my life, cast against the backdrop of this world. And I would not this morning insult you to try to take your time and mine at this hour to paint the picture of this world's need. I dare say you must be well aware of it if you are indeed a student of theology, of God's word, and of the times as they are requiring interpretation of that word to men. I would like to take the time to talk a little bit about this pilgrimage, the personal pilgrimage of one man's search to find meaning for his own life and ministry in our time, in this hour. I believe that the first element of such a pilgrimage must be a sense of adventure. How desperately urgent the need to discover adventure, for even as Whitehead says, without adventure, civilization is in full decay. When there is no excitement of a man's faith and ministry, when there is only the dull, insipid quality of a life that knows no challenge, no charge, no sense of faith, no understanding of what a man can be and do in this hour, indeed, life is without adventure. The paradox in our time is that with the world in revolution, Americans and American Protestants in particular, it would seem, are afraid and suspicious of the revolution, and schizophrenically, it would seem, almost trying to ignore or suppress that revolution. Therefore, we have this insipid quality of life without adventure. As Norman Cousins says, we are a people of compassion fatigue. We talk so much about concern that we are literally fatigued with the whole thought of it. A people of irrelevance. Too many of our lives are a massive salute to irrelevance. Our lives like a tower of isolation, separated from where men live and hurt and cry and suffer and hunger. Are this insipid quality of life without the characteristic of adventure leads us to a place of a kind of hypercritical approach where we think it is not right somehow. It is a kind of soiling of the hands of the soul to be concerned, to be aware of world need, to understand somehow in your own body and soul how some people down in Mississippi feel. And I suppose also a part of that insipid quality of life without adventure has to do with fear. Fear that if we get too close and know too much and hear too much, our hearing aids really in tune, that we might have to do something about it. One of the really jarring and depressing moments I've had in recent months came as I sat in Union Seminary in Richmond listening to Daniel T. Niles from Ceylon. He said something that brought me up short. He was talking about the insipid quality of fear that cuts out adventure from a man's pilgrimage of faith and meaning for his ministry in Jesus Christ. Or he said to us, if you, American Christians, fail to resolve in just one arena of human need, the arena of the racial conflict of this hour, if you fail to resolve it by Christ's terms, the rest of the world in a brief span of a few years will fail to hear anything you have to say about anything, and in particular, Jesus Christ. There is a risk in discipleship when a man discovers adventure, the excitement of being on pilgrimage. But you have to get beyond the adventure and the excitement, for a very basic component of a man's pilgrimage is discovery also. Discovery of contemporary need, but not painted in the abstract terms of tracts and propaganda and news releases. Sometimes, I confess to you, I walk through the mailing room at the Foreign Mission Board and look on shelves everywhere the eye will carry me. The piles and piles and piles of pamphlets and tracts and news releases and all the rest. And it suddenly dawns on me, lost in all that pile of literature and wordage are people. People whose names I can call, like a Mayan Indian chief, physically hungry in his body, mentally hungry in his mind, and spiritually hungry in his soul, still wasting away the latter years of his life in the mountains of Guatemala without food for any one of those three areas. People lost in our words and our sermons, our tracts and our propaganda. Like a student at the University of Costa Rica, hungry to understand what life is all about and to find his place in it, who died before that understanding came. People, like a professor at a university of Argentina, who, because the church could not supply his answers, turned to another god of the hour, communism, and has found only frustration and humiliation there until he is an empty man. Discovery in our pilgrimage of persons in need. Not just the abstract, vague presentation of world need, in quotes, we talk about so much from our pulpits and from our press. The discovery also in that personal pilgrimage which you alone can make, I cannot make it for you, you can't make it for me, of the gospel of Jesus Christ related to that contemporary need. This same one who has said so much to me in recent years through his writing, Daniel Niles, says it well. The biblical concern for nations is seen to be a concern to cross with the gospel every secular frontier between man and man, whether it be the frontier of race or class, caste or culture, tribe or language, nation or country. To cross these frontiers with the gospel becomes a specific calling. Let not the word calling fall into disrepute also. Indeed, foreign missions must not be a separate theological category, but it does denote an identifiable task, and the task still exists. And isolated in our tower of theory and our wonderment about whether the day of missions has passed, with all the words that have been written about it and all the words that are being read about it, the task is still there. The frontiers between man and man still exist. In Taiwan now, for instance, for 14 years, there has been an unusual response to the preaching and witness of the gospel of Christ. We have 7 preachers of our denomination as missionaries in Taiwan. And it's been a year and a half since the last one was appointed. In Korea, the gospel of Jesus Christ comes up hard-pressed against a brick wall of incredible human, physical, and spiritual need. We have supplied the tremendous number of 6 missionary preachers for Korea. In Pakistan, there is one district of 2 million people where there is not a preacher, nor a church, nor even a coal porter delivering scriptures for an entire area. Jordan and Lebanon and Gaza and the countries of Africa and an area of Chile, for instance, in South America, one whole area of 40 pastorless churches, for example. And the task is done. And I would say to you this morning, in your personal pilgrimage and mine of discovery of contemporary need and of the gospel of Jesus Christ up against that need, that the discovery begins here. You can't discover anything about contemporary need and the gospel speaking to that need in Africa if you haven't discovered it here in the Southland. You can't talk about the mountains of Guatemala if you haven't first discovered the spiritual need of man in the mountains of North Carolina. You can't discover need there until you discover need in the mainline, stable, traditional, old First Church down on the corner in every city in our nation. You can't talk about slums and poverty and hunger in Pakistan or India till you've talked about it in the tenement areas among the Puerto Ricans in Harlem. And you can't discover spiritual and mental need around the world without being deeply aware of your own personal discovery through pilgrimage in Jesus Christ of the growing edge of our population, which is mentally ill, alcoholic, and all the rest. A call to pilgrimage which includes discovery of contemporary need and of the gospel of Jesus Christ meeting that need. But beyond discovery, there is another element in your pilgrimage and mine. I hesitate to use the word. It's another of our vocabulary which has fallen into disrepute. Over-emotionalized, traditionalized, made trite by the wrong kind of presentation, watered down by the wrong kind of interpretation. The word is commitment. But you and I, who would not soil our hands with such a word, are brought up short when we come to the New Testament presentation of the words used to characterize us in our pilgrimage. Words like ambassador, voice crying in the wilderness, a light in darkness, salt, yeast, herald. And we suddenly become aware that the excitement of adventure and of discovery must pour itself into the channel of our being these or becoming these. It's not just our experience, our academic spade work, our plans, our methodology, our presentations. It's us that's involved here. The person created by God, redeemed through Jesus Christ, which is you and uniquely you, and until that person, you, comes to understand commitment in your pilgrimage, you've not gone far enough. I shall never forget the day the dawning came upon me of what, from a biblical sense, it really meant to be a missionary. That was the most frightening moment of my life in ministry. The understanding that a missionary, in the ideal sense of the word, wherever he is in this world, is the true representation of the nature of the gospel which comes from God to man and remains among men as a signal pointing to God. As one has said, the missionary repeats in human terms the incarnation. That's frightening. And it is precisely here where many missionaries have failed. And it is precisely here where some have become stumbling blocks. And it is precisely here, in a failure to understand this, that many fail to go in the first place. It is not what we take. It is who we are there. From here to there. Ambassadors, voice, salt, yeast, herald, light in darkness. I like the words of Edith Pierce. He did not send technical assistance to our backward world. Gabriel and a company of experts with their know-how. Instead, he came himself. He hungered in the wilderness. He was stripped naked on a cross. But hungering with us, he became our bread. And suffering for us, he became our joy. God give us a pilgrimage, you and me, which shall excite us first with a sense of adventure and renewal of the task of what we may be and do. That shall lead us on to discovery personally, not spoon-fed, of contemporary need and of the gospel of Jesus Christ in its contemporary setting answering that need. A pilgrimage that will lead us to commitment. I trust the day I die, I shall still be on such a pilgrimage. The pilgrimage in the brief, tiny part which I have known has fed my soul far more than doctrines, dogma, and creed, buildings, programs, and plans, organizations, offices, and denominations. And not one of us here present can stand the confinement of all of these things without losing the pilgrimage. The other day I received a letter signed affectionately Peking, the abbreviated name of Jose Joaquin Marichal, one who came to mean as much to me in helping me to understand what a pilgrimage can be in a foreign land as a Christian, of any person I know. One who confronted me early in the beginning of my missionary experience with the question, why did you come? What are you doing here? The honesty of his approach as he asked me out of simple curiosity brought me up short to the realization I had not really sufficiently nor honestly asked the question of myself. One who year by year, in the friendship which was ours, as he on a pilgrimage just beginning and I on a pilgrimage which should have long ago been begun but had just been begun, unfortunately, brought me up short day to day as he asked questions about the scripture, about life, and about his place in this life. A kind of hunger of mind and soul which you seldom find in men's pilgrimages here any longer. The letter which I received from him was dated back in May. Peking's parents had found it among his things left in a bureau drawer in his room this summer as they went through his things. Early in June, 22 years of age, an engineering student, but far along in his pilgrimage, a serious disease came to take control of his body, but not of his spirit. I have heard since, during these summer months from Costa Rica, the story of how day by day, 20, 30, 40 university students and some of their professors crowded into his room in the hospital, deeply aware, captivated in their imagination and in their hunger by a man on pilgrimage, that here was one, 22 years of age, who could supply some of the answers they so desperately hungered to know. In the letter, he said, a letter mailed after his death, thank God somebody excited me one day with a question, who are you? And I shall never regret one moment of the search to find the answer. What better pilgrimage and ministry for any of us anywhere in this world under God than to be entrusted with the question, "Who are you?" of another man, and to walk by that man's side till he know in Christ. May we pray. Our God and our Father, we are deeply aware today that we talk too much and pray too verbosely and promise overlong and give too little and love too lightly. Oh God, forgive us and catch us up today on a personal pilgrimage to discover our mission, that the mission of the whole Church of Jesus Christ might be rediscovered. In His name we pray. Amen.